the verses that we read talk about the crucifixion of Christ. And again, they're talking about Pilate, a man kind of, however you view him, he's kind of stuck in the middle. The people want Christ crucified. They said he's a blasphemer. They said he's not God. They said he calls himself the King of the Jews. And it's a hot political topic. Pilate brings a man named Barabbas out. And as the Bible says, as was wont to do at a time of feasting, they would pardon somebody. They would let somebody go. And Pilate said, well, if they're going to let somebody go, let's let Jesus go. Let's bring the worst offender forward and say, how could you possibly choose to let Barabbas go and not let Jesus go? And they said, let's get somebody bad enough where the people will choose to free Christ. And the people still chose to crucify Jesus and to let Barabbas go. And Pilate asked that question, what shall I do then with Jesus? If you look in your songbooks, one of the songs in there is, what will you do with Jesus? And that's my question for you this morning. This story took place. It is a true story. And again, however you view Pilate, however you view the people that were used to sacrifice our Savior, it happened. Jesus had to die. Jesus had to be shed his blood. Jesus had to die and be buried. He had to rise again. That's part of the salvation plan. So however you view the soldiers that beat him, or the crowd that cried crucify him, or Pilate, the man that said, I'm going to wash my hands of this. His wife said, I've had dreams, have nothing to do with this man. I mean, this was he was in a terrible situation as a leader, and he said, well, what do you want me to do? He asked the people, what are you going to do with Jesus? And I want to tell you what they did. Some mocked. There were soldiers there. The Bible says in Matthew 27, verse 27, the soldiers took Jesus into the common hall and gathered unto him the whole band of soldiers. They stripped him. They put on him a scarlet robe, and they planted a crown of thorns. They put it upon his head and a reed in his right hand, and bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, Hail, King of the Jews. The soldiers had a choice what they did with him. Again, Pilate said, I don't want to do this, but it's up to you. And then he let the people make the decision. Then he gave them over to the soldiers. The soldiers had a choice how they treated their prisoner, and they chose to mock Christ. They chose to beat him and give him a fake crown that hurt, a crown of thorns. They gave him a fake robe. They gave him a fake scepter, and they mocked him and mocked him. That was their choice. Some in the story, you know, trusted in him. Even in this dark hour, even when the disciples seemed to have forsaken him, even when it seemed like hope was lost, the thief on the cross turned to Jesus and said, remember me. In Luke, it says, in Luke chapter 23, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And the thief on the cross made a choice. What was he going to do with Jesus? He said, I want to trust him. I want to believe in him. Even in this dark hour, even when the thief didn't know the outcome yet, he still believed in Jesus. He still believed in him enough to trust him, to believe he was going to die, to pay for our sins, raise again. Some only stood in the crowd. Some were part of the mob and said, crucify him. And it was still their choice. They still made a choice what they did with Jesus. And some, like Pilate, didn't see as they had a choice. They saw themselves as powerless. They saw themselves as there's no good outcome. There's no way out of this. And he washed their hands of him. And Pilate gave him a title. The Bible says that Pilate said, put that title on his cross, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. And the chief priests and the Jews said to him, write not the King of the Jews, but that he said, I am the King of the Jews. And Pilate answered, what I have written, I have written. And all Pilate could do was just give him a title, but he didn't allow him to have an influence. He didn't allow him to affect his decision. And he still made the choice to go with what the people wanted to do, the people that cried, crucify him. All those people had a decision. And again, God's will would have been worked. Christ had to die. Christ had to shed his blood. He was innocent. He was paying for our sins. He was taking upon him our iniquity, the sin that we meant to do, the sin that we intended to do, and he was paying for our sin, for all of our sin. He was paying for it on the cross. But there were people in that story, that event, that had a choice to make. They had to choose what they did with Jesus. And that was then. And because of then, we have Jesus offered to us today. We have not just the man, Jesus, that lived on earth 2,000 years ago, but we have the gospel of Jesus Christ. We have the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus. We have Jesus that died and paid for our sins. We have Jesus that gives us not only a free home in heaven, he gives us eternity, but he gives us victory today. He gives us victory in him. The Christian life, we get it now because of what Jesus did for us. And that's what they did with Jesus. And my question in 5 minutes or less this morning is, what will you do with him? Number one, don't reject him. If you're here today, you have heard the gospel, every song that was sung, the old rugged cross, how great thou art, the songs that were sung, sweet hour of prayer. You heard pieces of the gospel. You heard the message of the gospel. If you came in during Sunday school, even in all the stammering around, you heard how Jesus gave us forgiveness. God gave us forgiveness through his son, Jesus, and what he did for us on the cross. So number one, what are you doing with Jesus? Don't reject him. If you're here today and you're not saved, we can show you from the Bible. We can take God's holy word, not in error, not what some man made up, but we can show you what God said is true, and we can show you how to trust Jesus, make him your Savior. But if you're here as a Christian, don't reject him. Don't deny him access to your life. Don't be like another person in the story that didn't have time. Don't be like somebody that rejected Christ. Allow yourself to be used by him. The Bible says in John, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Don't reject him. His yoke is light. Jesus said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. He's deliverance from punishment. He's deliverance from the punishment for sin that we deserve. But more than that, he's the rest that we need. He's the desire of our heart. He's what we need. He fills the void that we were born in our sin with, born with a void that we try to fill with sin, that we try to fill with lust, but only Jesus satisfies. We're all sinners. We all have a penalty for our sin. That's death. That's a place called hell, designed for sinners, designed for the devil. But we're headed there if we don't trust Jesus. We don't make him our Savior. If you're not saved today, you can come forward. We can show you, or you can ask somebody after church. We can show you how you know for sure you're going to heaven. Don't reject him. Number two, when you've accepted him, don't regret it. The Bible tells a story of Peter when he was out on the water and Jesus came to them walking on the water. And Peter said, I want to come out there with you. And the Bible says, when the wind was boisterous, he was afraid and beginning to sink, he cried, Lord, save me. And for just a second, Peter regretted getting out of the boat. Peter was a little scared at what he had done and he started to sink. And the Bible says that Jesus reached out his hand. Don't regret when you follow Jesus. There's going to be times, and the next point is don't fret. Don't be afraid. There's going to be times where you don't see the answer. You don't see the next step even. And you're still trusting, but you have fear. The Bible talks about the disciples that Jesus fell asleep in the boat. And the storm rose up. The winds blew. And they were afraid. And they came and woke him up. And Jesus immediately calmed the storm. And he said, where was your faith? And again, Jesus didn't rebuke them. He was there. He comforted them. But when you've accepted him, don't regret it. And don't fret. Don't fear. Don't let fear make your decisions. Trust and obey. Even in fear, just trust and obey. Trust and obey that God has a plan. That Jesus saved you for a purpose. That Jesus has a time and a place prepared for you. Number four, when you've accepted him, resign to him. Or give up to him. Die to self. Give up of your lust and your bitterness and your jealousy. Give up of an unforgiving heart. When you've accepted Christ, you need to resign the old man. Resign the flesh. And it's a daily thing. It's a daily thing to say, no, I'm trusting Jesus. I'm not trusting myself. I'm not trusting what I have done. I'm not trusting in the good or the bad that I prevented. I'm trusting in Jesus. The Bible says in Colossians, mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Now, more than likely, something on that list hits something that you have thought about doing, or an idol, something you put in front of God, a lust that you've had in your heart and your mind, something that you've put in front of God that you need to die to self. You need to resign yourself to Jesus. Number five, when you've accepted him, align with him. Jesus said in John 13, I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither is he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If you know these things, happy are ye if you do them. There are many things in life that we know we should do. We know we should brush our teeth when we get up. We know we should brush our teeth before we go to bed. There are things that you know are good to do, and you know that if you do them, you'll feel better about yourself. Do your chores. You'll feel better when you wake up the next morning and things are taken care of and things aren't a mess. But you're not happy unless you know and you do them. There's an action that has to take place. And when you trust and accept him, follow his lead. Align yourself with Christ. Don't say, as we sing to the junior church, I am a C-H-R-I-S-T-I-A-N, and I have C-H-R-I-S-T in my H-E-A-R-T, and I will L-I-V-E-E-T-E-R-N-A-L-L-Y. Yes, we sing it every week. I'm a Christian. I have Christ in my heart, and I'll live eternally. And don't say it and then not believe it. Don't say it and then not do it, not act on it, and share it with others. The last one, when you've accepted him, number six, when you've accepted Christ, define yourself through him. And again, I just sang the song for you, but we're Christians. We tell people we're Christians. That means that when you want a definition for the way that we live our life, when you want a definition for the way that we're going to act, or the attitude that we're going to have, or the spirit that we're going to treat people, it first and foremost, we identify with Christ. Paul said, for we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. And this morning, I just want to ask you, I've done this before, and I won't have you stand up and tell me this morning, but think about the person that defined Jesus for you. Think about the person that led you to a saving knowledge of Jesus. They told you you were a sinner. They told you there was a penalty on sin. And they told you you need to trust Christ. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Who was it that led you? Number one, don't reject him. Don't regret following him. Don't fret. Don't be afraid. The quote I reminded again this week, Corrie ten Boom, a lady that lived in hiding, fearing for her life. She said, never be afraid to trust an unknown future to a known God. Don't be afraid to trust. Don't be afraid to obey. Resign your desires to him. Die to self so Christ can live through you. Align with him. How do you follow? I've been in a caravan before. It's good to have a good leader. Jesus is the best leader you'll ever have. How do you follow him? What's your attitude like toward the poor or the sinners in your life, the people that normally would bother you? What's your attitude? Is it loving and forgiving as Christ was? Or do we become a Pharisee? Do we become a judge and don't show the love of Christ? And then again, define yourself through him. Who can say that they see Jesus in you? I was thinking about it last night. I'm going to take this out of the recording. Nobody tell Dad about this. But yesterday, or the day before, I got a text from my sister that she is watching Grandma, and Dad's in Baltimore, and she said, there's a loophole in our plan. Who's taking care of the cats? And Judy, this is for you. She said, who's going to feed the cats? So last night, it fell onto me. Chantel was doing a Relay for Life in Frankenmuth, and I had both the boys with me. So I had to go feed the cats, and I know how he talks about the cats, but he loves those cats. They have fancy feast, and there's a little note I have to follow. You know, I have to feed each cat a certain thing, and I have to lay it out and pour it in the bowl. It's quite an ordeal. He loves the cats. Again, if you mention this, I will deny it. I never said it. But so I get to the house, and all around the house, and again, this is something I don't think about often because I'm not able to complete a thought, but every time he leaves on a trip, he says, you know, this is where I keep my passwords, he tells me where everything is in case something should happen to him, which I hate having that conversation, but he's very prepared, and he likes to know where everything is. And again, all around Dad's house are reminders of my mother, and my mother was the one that led me to Christ. And that last point I said, think about the person that pictures Christ to you. When I was, I think, 9 or 10 years old, it was summer, and I had mentioned before in Sunday school, I struggled with knowing I was saved. I struggled with understanding that Jesus still loved me, even though I still sinned. And my mom was the one that led me to Christ in our basement. And she was the one that directed me to Jesus. And I kind of thought in the back of my mind that she would also be the one, between mom and dad, I should have my bases covered. She'll be the one to lead my sons to Jesus. She'll be the one to point out, you know, she's very good at answering questions, and I figured my boys were going to be a lot like me. And again, while I was feeding those cats, there were reminders around me of my mother, and I thought about the assumption that I made that she would be there, or even that, you know, Dad would always be there. I know this feels weird today, but that assumption I made that Pastor will always be in his place, Grandma will always be Grandma, the things that were will stay the same, and I can just relax and trust that that's the way it's going to be. And I realized that I'm already past that point. I don't think about it very often, but I realized that someone else is going to have to take up the slack in picturing Jesus for the next generation. And I just want to tell you today, you cannot depend on any other person to fill the role that God has given you to do. We have a great pastor. He takes care of a ton of stuff that you don't even think about, but it's taken care of. He's on the ball. He has a plan. He knows where everything is. He's organized. But he can't take the place of what God has for you to do. He can't represent Jesus in every area of your life, and he can't represent Jesus as well as you can to your kids and your grandkids and your family. We have great Sunday school teachers. We have great people that teach and preach in junior church. And we have great examples. We have great musicians. We have great singers. None of them can take your place when God says, I need you to define yourself first and foremost as a Christian. I need you to show the love of Christ. You can't take someone else's place, and you can't depend on somebody else to fill the role that God has given you. So this morning, what will you do with Jesus? What will you do when Jesus says, I need you to show me to the next generation? I don't need you to depend on whoever showed you. That person may not be part of your life anymore. That person might have stumbled and fallen. That person may have gone on to heaven. They might not be available to take that place. But God says to you, what will you do with Jesus? Will you reject him? I hope not. If you feel that way, I pity you. I hope you don't reject him. I hope you don't live your Christian life rejecting the Savior. I hope you don't live eternal life without ever accepting Jesus as your Savior. Do you regret following him? Are you scared? Do you fret about it? Do you still live in your own desires? Do you still want to do your own thing and not follow? And are you still counting on somebody else to show Christ to your loved ones? I hope not. I hope you can say, hey, I define myself as a Christian. If you want to know about Jesus, let me tell you what he's done for me. Let me tell you what I've been forgiven of. Let me tell you how he's changed my life. Let me fill the void for the next generation and say, you know what, I can handle it. It won't be the same. It'll be a little different. But I can tell you what God's done for me. I can show you how you can know for sure that he's your Savior. And that's why my challenge is for you today. Is find a person that God says, hey, you're in their life because I need you to show Jesus to them. You're not just here by accident. You're here to accomplish my purpose. And only heaven will tell the influence that you'll have. And again, I was snooping. Don't tell them I was snooping. But I found a note from my grandma written about my mom. She said, you know, she was a great influence to many. And we don't know the influence she had. And we won't know till we get to heaven. We have some understanding about our pastor. We have an understanding about how we love him. We appreciate him. But we don't know his influence. And I say the same thing to you. I don't know your influence. And I won't know it until we get to heaven. I won't know the people that God put in your life because he needed you to tell them about Jesus. And that's my challenge to you today. Remain open. Remain listening. Remain aligned with Christ so you can identify with him. We're going to pray. If you need to accept Christ, if you have any questions, I can answer. If you're a lady, you want to have a lady, there's many ladies up here that'll come and pray with you. We can show you from the Bible how you can be saved, man or woman, boy or girl, teenager. But we're going to have a word of prayer, and then we'll have an invitation. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for the opportunity to speak. Thank you, Lord, for this whole service, for every song that was sung, for every little bit of the service, the time we had together. And I know, Lord, it's different. I know it's not the same, but thank you. Help us to appreciate what we have. Help us to appreciate our pastor and those that fill the roles and do what they do. But help us, Lord, to look for what you want us to do. Help us to be the example that you want us to be. Help us not just depend on those that came before us or those that told us to tell somebody else. Help us to want to be the one. I pray you bless this invitation. Thank you so much for giving us this church family. And thank you so much for all that you do for us, whether we acknowledge it or not. Thank you for your blessings. Bless this invitation. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.